Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, July 29, 2016. Happy Friday, everybody. On the site today, John Moore's TNA Impact Wrestling Review, my TNA Impact Wrestling hit list. We should have the Impact viewership numbers available a little bit later today. And all sorts of other stuff, including an interview recap with Pat Patterson, where he talks about Vince McMahon disliking the initial concept of the Royal Rumble. I actually got to sit in on a conversation with Pat Patterson one time where he was talking about just that, and Vince McMahon referred to it as the Battle Royal with all the run-ins. But you can hear it. He didn't get into that part of it, but you can hear, at least read Pat's recap, the recap of a radio interview that he did, and actually go to the source if you want to. Details on that, again, on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Hey, I've been venting a lot about my disappointment in Tuesday's premiere edition of SmackDown Live, and I'm not going to go into a ton of detail because I have been pretty vocal about it, but just kind of a quick summary for anyone who may have missed it. I didn't think they lived up to the hype of making all these major changes that Shane McMahon kept talking about, and some of that, of course, is in part to Raw beating them to the punch. I didn't like Dolph Ziggler becoming number one contender to the WWE Championship on the first show, and it's a lot of that just has to do with too much too soon. It just, I don't think it sent the right message that here on SmackDown our roster is so light that even Dolph Ziggler, and I know there were some big names competing in that Battle Royal and in the six-pack, or I guess he was just in the six-pack challenge, but still, I don't know, it felt a little too much too soon. I'm all for doing more with Dolph Ziggler than what has been done, don't get me wrong. Didn't like the glass ceiling talk at all. I've been complaining a lot about that. Didn't like the women's roll call segment. Believe me, I could go on, but I mean, instead of all the venting, today I want to kind of get into how to address some of the issues that we saw in the first show. And no, this is not the how to fix SmackDown piece that I think everyone at one time has written seven how to fix TNA pieces. There's so many of them. And TNA, by the way, I'll be doing my audio review of that show a little bit later on today for members. And I've had a lot of good things to say about it. So, but over the years, there's been a lot of how to fix TNA. But these are just kind of my thoughts on how you can make the most of what SmackDown actually has. I feel like the room for error is smaller with SmackDown. They're short on talent compared to Raw, plain and simple. The draft was lopsided in favor of Raw. The brand could use Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Neville. Those guys that I mentioned them because I think some of them are going to be fine. Some are going to end up being more mid-card guys that just don't get utilized on Raw, and I think they could have been big attractions or, you know, at least upper mix on the SmackDown show. And so I was kind of disappointed to see all four of those guys. If you wanted to keep a couple on Raw and send a couple to SmackDown, cool. I might be looking at things a little bit differently, and just as far as SmackDown's depth is concerned, and I don't think it would take away tremendously from Raw. But while I'm hoping we end up getting some trades, I'm going to play with the hand that's been dealt to SmackDown today in terms of the talent they have, rather than go, what about trading this guy for these four guys on Raw? I'm not going to get into that. First thing, though, I would do is make the absolute most out of Shelton Benjamin. Fans, the reaction so far, fans are excited, I would say, about his return. And yeah, there's probably a generation of fans who really don't have much familiarity with Shelton Benjamin, but I think the sky is the limit. I think that's how they should approach it. I think it would be a mistake to have the mindset that, well, he's a mid-card guy, and we're bringing him in just to make others look better, help the young talent improve. He's a guy that I think can accomplish both of those things while still being positioned as a guy who's climbing the ladder, who can end up being a real player. SmackDown needs star power as much as anything, and that reaction that fans have had to him, but it just since then, people are excited about it. I think that shows fans are open-minded. They would like to see good things happen for Shelton Benjamin. Doesn't mean he needs to be the world champion or anything like that. If he gets it, great. But I still say get what you can out of Shelton Benjamin rather than just kind of bringing him in with the mindset that, oh, this is his slot, this is all it is. And, no matter how the fans perceive him, he's still, I think, what, a 41-year-old guy or something like that? He's never going to go. I think there's, he's 41, but I still think there's some upside with Shelton. Number two, get what you can out of Rhino and really others like him. I'm not comparing him to Shelton Benjamin. It's not, see Shelton Benjamin. I'm not saying that at all. Because I did roll my eyes when Shane McMahon introduced Rhino as the hottest baby, or the baby face, the hottest free agent in all of wrestling. I didn't have that same feeling when TNA introduced Moose. Was it a bit of a stretch for them to say it? Maybe. I mean, How many free agents are there really? When you, but still, I mean, I get why some people kind of snickered at that, but he's a big fish in TNA, smaller pond. I think it made sense for them to hype him that way. And when I say get the most out of Rhino, I don't mean you put him in the title picture. What I'm saying with Rhino is that they need to make the guy mean something. I do believe he is there to make others look better, to help the younger guys improve. But in order to make guys look better, I think people have to care about Rhino first. Otherwise, it's not that he can't help them get better in the ring, but don't you want people to care about those matches? Don't you want it to mean something when someone beats Rhino? I wouldn't have him lose for at least 6 weeks. That doesn't mean he's got to be top guys during that time or anything like that. It just means that he needs to be protected. Tell your audience that this guy matters. Establish it through the booking, even if it is him going through some rock bottom talent, whether it's, you know, local independent wrestlers or just some low-end guys that WWE doesn't have many plans for. Show us that, you know, there's something here. Remind fans what it is they like about it, because there was some excitement that he was there. But at the same time, you have to, well, let's just put it this way. There's a reason Rhino hasn't been a major star over the years, and I think it's because the guy's name is Rhino and he gores people. And we don't know anything else about the guy just from watching television. Now, if you have met Rhino, very nice guy. He's overcome some things in his life. They got into it a little bit on WWE television, but it's not, I don't think many people remember it. It's just he's Rhino and he gores people and the announcers yell gore 3 times. Give us some depth. Make him more than the angry guy who calls himself an animal name. You know, give us something more. Is he a veteran babyface who's trying to make the most out of what he sees as his final chance? Well, that's something fans can rally behind. Is he a veteran heel who's going to do anything it takes to get ahead? Because, again, this might be his final chance, whatever. You know, however they want to position it, give me some reason to care about Rhino by giving him some level of character depth. And, again, by not having him lose too quickly. I kind of have this feeling with Rhino that as soon as he loses, he's basically defined by who beats him. That's where he's slotted. If it's a main eventer, okay, it tells people he's not in that mix, but I don't think you need to send that message right away. Do you need to have John Cena beat Rhino? Does it really help John Cena? No. It fills a little space on TV and that's it. I wouldn't even go there. I'm not saying, again, you need to have him beat a main eventer. Don't book him against a main eventer. Have him beat some undercard talent. If it's a mid-card act who beats him, well, you're telling us he's not in that mix too, and so on. You know, and I'm not saying Rhino needs to be undefeated during his entire stay in WWE. No, not at all. But you don't need to establish that this guy is the same Rhino that didn't mean anything during his last run in the company. So protect him for a bit. Let the fans develop some level of interest in him, and then let the fans kind of feel like there could be something going on with Rhino. They want to see where he fits in. Wow, he's winning some matches here. Maybe he does beat a guy that you wouldn't necessarily think he would beat. And, wow, all of a sudden you got something there with Rhino. Again, not as a main eventer. I don't think he's that guy. But make him mean something. You brought him in. Make him be more than just, oh, there's Rhino again. And you start to kind of zone out during his matches. That's not the right approach to take with him. I would also say be careful to avoid pushing too many names from the past. You know, Shelton is a nice ad. He gives WWE, I think, some good years, even though he's 41. Rhino definitely can be used to elevate talent once he's properly introduced. But let's not go overboard with bringing in all sorts of names from the past. They need to be selective when it comes to the SmackDown brand, because I would say you don't want to trade a short-term pop for a returning name that they usually get for just some... The long-term problem of making your brand look like some bad era of TNA with some star power on top, but way too many former WWE guys who just overstayed their welcome. And, you know, Rhino is one of those guys who really didn't do much there. You need guys who can help the younger talent improve and help elevate them. But really, you need more younger talent than the brand currently possesses. And I said I wouldn't get into, you know, making trades and for that matter, calling people up from NXT, even though I'd love to see that. But I do think that you need just be careful when it comes to how many people you bring in, because otherwise you're going to start looking like SmackDown is this third-rate brand, not even a second-rate brand, but a third-rate brand. I want to know what Dolph Ziggler is all about. Is he all about what he talked about this week? Is he breaking glass ceilings now? Is he still about being a show-off? If that's the case, no interest, move on. The glass ceiling doesn't exist in the storyline world. Not for him, anyway. He wasn't held back by the authority like Daniel Bryan was. He just lost a bunch of matches, fair and square. You know, okay, once or twice did Stephanie get and him do have a little program. I mean, I remember Hunter beat him. So there were moments, but it's not like all those losses Dolph Ziggler suffered were because of the authority. It's not like this is a guy who was winning all sorts of matches, but they just never gave him the title match. So stop talking about it. Through his character, tell us why this time is different for Dolph. Give us a new Dolph Ziggler. I'd like to see him get a makeover as a heel. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I would love to have him ditch that awful entrance music. Everything that just screams old Dolph Ziggler. I'm not saying cut the hair. I might if we hadn't seen what it actually looks like. That wasn't so good. So go ahead and keep the look. But I would also, someone needs to be in charge of stopping Dolph and checking his ring gear before he goes out there. He's been fine lately, but he's gone through some really weird stages of 80s glam rock tributes, and you're talking to a guy who grew up on some of that, but I like Motley Crue as much as the next guy. I don't need to see Dolph Ziggler impersonating Motley Crue in 2016. I just don't. I think he needs to deliver. And when I say next guy, I mean next guy, you know, of my age, of my generation. But I think he needs to deliver a new mission statement this week. I think you can do it either directly if he's staying babyface, if he is turning heel. You know, I don't know if you're going to do it this week necessarily, so do some foreshadowing, and that message may come out over time. But I think Vince McMahon made the mistake of thinking that fans were still really passionate about Dolph Ziggler and why aren't they doing more with Dolph. I think a lot of people just kind of gave up a long time ago. Now, but it doesn't mean WWE can't make people care again if they play this right. If he's going to deliver a longer mission statement style promo, can I suggest a sit-down interview? Hey, look, Dolph tends to get squeaky voiced when he gets all worked up in front of the live crowd. There's a bit of a disconnect for me when that happens. So it's a little thing that can be a big thing for some of us. I'm not saying it bothers everybody, but it does me. I want to see a new a reason to think this time is different for Dolph Ziggler. And they'll probably try to do that by having him beat people in the ring. But I want to know more about the Dolph character. I want a reason to be reinvested in this in Dolph Ziggler, period. I want something, whether it's babyface or heel. And I hope we get it. And I didn't like it on night one because, again, it just felt out of place that this guy who hadn't been doing anything was even in the six-pack challenge to begin with. But then when he won the thing, it was like, oh, God, whatever. I just didn't care. And some people liked it more than others. I totally get that. But I think there are a lot of people that just kind of had that moment of, okay, it's Dolph Ziggler, great. Get us back to that point. Work for it. Don't just throw him out there and assume that, whoa, that the internet fans love Dolph Ziggler. 5. Tell us what the women in the tag teams are fighting for, please. Respect isn't going to cut it. If that's what they're fighting for, the brand needs title belts. And I'm guessing they get their own. If they want to have the tag team champions and women's champion float, so be it. No signs of that yet. But my guess is that, you know, that whole parade of women that we saw last week on SmackDown that I wasn't big on, I wonder if that's kind of a brief get-to-know-them type of video and they're actually going to set up some sort of a tournament to determine the first champion of the SmackDown side, whatever they end up calling it. I also wonder if they held off on making any type of announcement this week because Raw just had the announcement of the Universal, WWE Universal Champion, and so rather than create, I don't know that a week is going to change that much, but I could see that kind of being the rationale that let's wait a little bit on this, but it needs to happen. You can't just have, why would anyone be in a tag team or in a women's division where there's no titles? That's what you fight for in wrestling. That's the goal. If you don't have that, it's like being an NFL team and just playing preseason games. No regular season, no playoffs, just preseason. Doesn't matter. And finally, continue to innovate. And I say continue. They, you know, Shane McMahon talked a good game about bringing real change to SmackDown and all the different camera angles, just all these different things. And unfortunately for him, I don't blame him for this, obviously, it really looked like Raw was given the major overhaul. And there were elements there on SmackDown where, you know, they kept some of those. They brought some things over from Raw. And I think they reached for a couple of new ideas or maybe even some ideas that were rejected for Raw in kind of a half-hearted effort to make SmackDown feel a little bit different than the new Raw. It wasn't enough. You know, Raw has a really good thing going. And SmackDown, I think, can and should still tinker with their formula. I say you could emulate UFC even. And so this isn't really innovation as much as it is emulation. Oh, well. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. And if it's a, I think it's a good thing to emulate. I would really make that television main event stand out. And where I, when I mention UFC, I think you can show us right at the top of the show, give us kind of that, instead of the crappy smack, the WWE and their entrance music, or their show music, by the way. Ugh, yuck. But you can have your show themes, but then when you start to actually get into the actual SmackDown show, once the opening credits are done, then give us kind of that UFC gladiator-style feel while you're introducing the main event. And I do it in video form. Give us kind of a big fight feel video that features back and forth comments from the wrestlers in that main event match. You know, whatever, let them sell us kind of on whatever the match's importance is or what the issue is between them. And so even if it's two guys that don't really have an issue, help establish what they're fighting for. Make it feel like no matter who is in that main event, the match is important and you need to stay tuned to watch it. It's not that complicated. And I say turn Mauro Ranallo loose on this. Maybe even get him involved. Let him hype the main event in his own words too, because Mauro certainly knows a thing or two about the big fight feel given his work outside WWE and MMA and boxing. And it doesn't mean you need to give away your best matches. That's not what I'm saying. On the contrary, I think you can take a standard TV main event and find ways to sell it and let viewers get excited by it. I think that exercise of the creative team members having to go through and find talking points to sell these matches would be really beneficial for them and the show. I think people would be surprised by just how much, let's say it's Miz defending against Apollo Crews. I think they would be shocked by just how much they could sell viewers on the match if they kind of took that approach to it. And they're speaking through the wrestlers. It doesn't have to be Miz being wacky Hollywood guy. It can be Miz being the determined Intercontinental Champion out to fend off the young upstart. It can be Apollo Crews talking about what winning the Intercontinental Championship would mean for him and how everything he's done so far in his wrestling career is built up to this moment. Just some back and forth. You don't have to have them in the same room. But I think there's a way to do it. There's a way to establish the importance of the match. And even if it is a blow-off, you know what? You establish the match in a way where people are excited by it. Hopefully they stay tuned to see it. And if you give a DQ finish, well, maybe, just maybe, you get a little heat on the heel. Because the heel actually spoke about the importance of the match, and then he cheated. I mean, there's certainly the, you run the risk that the heat goes on the promotion for not following through with something, but I think there is a way to do it. But I really think SmackDown needs to continue, just to continue tinkering with their formula, with their roster. It's one show. I'm not trying to go overboard and say the sky is falling for SmackDown. Not at all. But I am saying there was a lot of room for improvement, and so I wanted to spend a little bit of time today instead of just complaining about that, kind of going through what I see, some of those some of the possibilities that I see for improvement. Hey, .NET members, as I mentioned, are going to be listening to my TNA Impact Wrestling audio review. I will be starting that the moment I finish this, and they are already listening to 104 minutes of the .NET Weekly audio show. Brian Fritz of Between the Ropes and I got together and discussed WWE failing to suspend Brock Lesnar, how that leaves them vulnerable. It may not be a big deal to some people now, but boy, if something were to happen, ooh, it definitely could put them in a bad place. We also talked about the first week of the brand split. The thought that George Berrios put out there that WWE, they're open to the possibility of listening to what people have to say about a potential sale. Very interesting. We also talked about a few of the developmental talent cuts that have occurred in WWE and so much more. It's a really good addition. I had a blast doing it with Brian. It's always good to get together with him. So thanks again to Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com for joining me. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you're there, you'll find the sign-up area. Once you're inside that sign-up area, three different pricing options. $7.50 will get you in the door for 1 month. However, you want to commit, you're going to save yourself some money. We have a six-month option that'll bring that price down a little bit, and then we have the annual option that is going to bring that average price down all the way to $5.50 a month. It is the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. All of our audio content available. Recent audio includes Chris DeJoseph, Lucha Underground, co-executive producer, talking about Final Deletion and all sorts of fun, the Wyatt Family Compound video. So we got a lot going on the membership side. We would love to have you take a chance. Sign up this weekend. Give yourself something to do. Enjoy a lot of audio and the ad-free content at ProWrestling.net. Hey, finally today, please remember, to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. I always appreciate it when people take the time to do that because, again, you are helping spread the word about ProWrestling.net and this audio show, this podcast. I will be back on Monday with the look ahead to that night's WWE Raw and any news coming out of the weekend. So until then, thank you for listening and have a great weekend. Take care.